Good morning. So good to see you in worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to the pew pads that are located at the end of your pew, we would like to extend a special welcome to our guests this morning. Invite members and guests alike to take that, jot down your information, and we just want to thank you for worshiping with us today. Also, you notice on your bulletin there, on the inside flap, there are several announcements that are listed. I will mention some of those, but I will not mention all of those. I'm sure you notice right here, I told our coach for the black softball team that I would have this trophy right up here on the stage this morning, but he failed to be in attendance. But our black church softball team ended up winning a runner-up in the Golds division for the Winston-Salem Softball Church League. And so congratulate them. And I'm looking for him. I guess he left the building too. Our very own Jeff Allen is a member of that black softball team. And so I told him he won a trophy, but he wasn't there. He was at youth camp last week, so he didn't play. That's why they won. Just kidding. We have a great time with our softball leagues, and they're starting back up here in a few weeks. The schedule hopefully will be in the newsletter later on this month or next month when it comes out, but the schedule is not out yet. They start August the 7th, and so if you'd like to come watch the teams and support them, let me know. Or if you know somebody that would like to play on one of the teams, please let me know as well. Our church directory pitchers are off to a great start. If you've not signed up to have your picture taken for the church directory, you need to see the sign-up sheet out on the hall as you leave today, or you can call the church office. I'm sure there's still a couple time slots for you to get in there as well. It's so good to have you join us in worship today. Our ushers now are going to come down the aisle, and if you're a guest with us for the first time, we already got a little information from you from the pew pads. We would like to just give you a little information about us and just saying thank you for worshiping with us today. Inside, there's a letter from our pastor letting you know a little bit more about who we are and how we do things here at College Park. This is a great place to be a part of, and we are so tickled you're here today and look forward to getting to know you better. As we begin in worship, let's join our hearts together. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Father, we gather today to join our hearts together in worship, to praise your name, Father, and how worthy you are of that praise. Father, this morning as we gather here to worship, Father, help us to tune out the distractions of this world so we can focus on who created the world and we can sing praises to your name. Father, let us worship you now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Morning. How is everybody? Everybody all right? It's been hot, right? I have a question. There's a big word we're going to talk about today. Pastor Raymond is going to talk about it's adoption. Now, I was thinking, how could we talk about that word? Have you ever thought about, or maybe you've actually done this, adopting a pet? You have three pets? Did anybody ever have to go and adopt a pet? Or let's just say you got a pet. What are all the things that you have to do to take care of a pet? What kind of pets do you have? A cat and two dogs. What do you have to do to take care of the cat and two dogs? You have to feed the cats. What else? Naps, they need naps, that's right, you need to give them a nap. Got to let the cat outside to go to the bathroom, they need to go to the bathroom. And do you like to play? Yeah, so you have to feed them, you have to give them water, you have to let them go to the bathroom, you have to let them play outside, and you have to let them take naps or to go to sleep. What? Oh, you got to bathe them too? Oh, that is so much work. And you got to play with them, right? And they like to be rubbed and petted. Your mommy gives the cat a bath, right? Now, when we have pets, we have to take care of them, right? Well, Pastor Raymond's going to talk about how you and I are adopted. God adopts us. When we believe in Jesus, he brings us into his family. Aren't your pets just like they're part of the family? What else? Oh, it tears up all the toys. Pets tear up all the toys that you get them. There's a whole lot of connections here between us and pets, right? So here's... Oh, my goodness. I'm losing control. That's what's happening right here. Everybody's looking right here? Everybody look right here? I know. We have all the time... All the time, I want you to remember, when you if you have to take care of your parent of your pets, your parents. I'll be here all week. Okay. Not right now. So, moms and dads, they take care of us, right? They make sure we have food, we have water, we get to go outside and play, that we have time for naps. Pastor Raymond talks about how God, just like parents, take care of us. They bring us in, and video games, they bring us into the family. Just like those pets are part of the family and brought in and taken care of by God, by you, you and I are taken care of by God. And that's a powerful thing to know, that God is our Father. We are part of his family. He takes care of our food. He takes care of us a place to live. He takes care of all the important things that we need. We need to be thankful to God for being our Father, because he has made us part of his family. Isn't that a good thing to know? We're part of God's family. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you take care of us. You have adopted us into your family. Help us every day to live like we belong to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Go back to your seats now. Everybody needs to try to lead a children's sermon sometime. Ministry of God's Word comes from Psalm 139. Verses 1 through 18 and verses 23 through 24. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. It's page 444 in the Pew Bible there in front of you if you do not have yours. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for listening to your children. Thank you for the promise that you will never leave us. When we stop to consider how much you actually know about us from the time before being born, you knew everything about us. And so, how often do we neglect talking with you, praying to you? Because we just think we can do it on our own. Or we say we're too busy. God, this morning I am thankful that those who call on the name of Christ have been adopted, brought into your family. You're our dad, you're our father, you're our Abba, our daddy, who knows everything about us. May we be your children, obedient children, who take your commandments seriously to love you with everything that we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. May we take your word seriously as it teaches us the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and it moves us to make a difference in our world. May I act like I am your child, full of promise and passion and purpose. May I never forget. There is nothing that this world will ever throw at me that will defeat me. I pray, Father, that we, the body of Christ, will honor you in all that we say, think, and do. Teach us this morning, we pray. Focus our minds and tune our hearts to what you might speak to us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Oh, Last week, Brother Gruber spoke about putting our spiritual gifts to work in God's kingdom. I'd like to expand on that just a little bit this morning by challenging you to plug into College Park. When we give of our time and talents, the church body benefits, and that same body glorifies God, and we become active witnesses for Christ's love to each other and to our community. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's hard work, but it's always rewarding. Beth and I find that when we give of ourselves, God is faithful and truly blesses us in so many ways. So please plug into serving the church, and God will plug into you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please accept this offering of our first fruits. Bless it and use it to further your kingdom here on earth. Thank you for providing for our needs and for giving us a heart for others. Lord, let us be thankful for all things and help us to see you in all situations. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
stories of what they think you're like. I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. It's a love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Every time I hear that song now, I think about the last time we sang that down at the jail. We led in worship down there. Oh, man. Those guys threw their head back and just sang that. Everybody loves the idea of belonging, don't we? We like to belong. We need purpose. We need people to care about us. We need to be part of something that's bigger than ourselves. We need to be in community. I mean, God created us for fellowship with Him and with each other. I'm reminded of a story of a young man who entered the movie theater. He was loaded down, you know. He had popcorn, he had drinks, he had candy. You know, it was like $36 worth of stuff. And as the lights dimmed, he began to pace up and down the aisles of the movie theater, scanning, you know, squinting, looking in the dark rows. It was obvious he was looking for the people that he came with, and he couldn't find them. And after three or four passes up and down the aisle, he finally just stopped and asked loudly, "Does anybody here recognize me?" You know, he's like, where are my peeps at? You know, he was trying to figure out where he went. This sense of, I need to sit with my people. I need to be with the people that I came with. I need to dance with the one who brought me. I mean, all of these kind of cliches are all reflective of the idea that we need to be in community. That's how we're wired. That's how God created us to be. So it's really no surprise that when Jesus began his public ministry, what's one of the first things he did? Yeah, he got people around him, didn't he? He got people around him and said, I'll take you and I'll take you and I'll tell you guys, follow me. Follow me. You know, these were people that he selected to be a part of his circle of immediate, really close friends. This is a group who would eventually become the leaders of the church. Now, granted, there was a lot of teaching that had to take place during the process, but they were part of community with him. They were close to one another. They became so close that, in fact, at the Lord's Supper in John 15, verse 15, he told this group, he said, I no longer call you servants, now I call you friends. Friends. But we're not just servants, we're not just friends, we're much more than that. We are actually, the scripture pretty clear, we are children of God himself. And so when we sing Good, Good Father, we don't have to wonder what that's like. We know what that's like. We can sing the words with conviction because we know what a good father we serve, and we know that we are his child. And you say, well, it sounds good. Where do we find that scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked. It is actually in Romans chapter 8, among other places, but we're going to read from Romans chapter 8, because you heard me say a couple weeks ago, I love Romans. We could preach in Romans all year round, except at Christmas, then we would go to the Gospels. But Romans chapter 8, we're going to pick up in verse 12. Now, you remember last week I made a big deal about verse 1 saying, therefore, and we referred back to Matt's sermon, we did all of that. This week, verse 12 begins with therefore. And so it refers back to what we talked about last week, okay? Grace and receiving grace and those type of things. So Paul says, therefore, given all of that we talked about last week, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs, another translation says joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who had the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Paul says, you have received a spirit of adoption. You are a child. You are children of God. Now understand, adoption is a term that is often misunderstood. As we read it in Scripture, we tend to put, as we do so many times, not just with this concept, but we put our 21st century definition or our 21st century understanding onto that word in Scripture. I want you to understand this morning that the doctrine of adoption actually is a twin truth. And these are inseparable when you think about them in Scripture. The first truth is regeneration. That is the experience of new birth. You know about new birth. You know where it says Jesus stated very clearly. He says you must be born again. Well, what was he talking about? You must be born again. The objection presented by Nicodemus was, I can't enter into my mother's womb again. And Jesus helped him to understand that's not what I'm talking about. You see, when a person accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are born again. You experience new birth. We experience regeneration. And we become God's child. Hear this. Literally. We're not talking metaphorically. We're not talking figuratively. We are literally children of God. That is the truth of regeneration. That is new birth. Okay? That is the first part of the twin doctrine. The second part is the doctrine of adoption. Okay, what does that mean? Paul states this truth for the believers in Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, God sent his son, born of a woman, born unto the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Adoption means that you are legally a child of God. Now, understand, at the time that the letter was written, the word adoption was used differently than we use it today. If we talk about adoption today, what are we talking about? We're talking about a child who is not of our flesh and blood, right? We're talking about taking a child that is not of our biological flesh and blood, and we're talking about taking them and making them a part of our family, taking responsibility for them, much like when Jeff was talking about with a pet. That's the modern context. You adopt a pet, you care for it, you take care of it, all those kind of things. That is the modern concept of adoption, but that is not the biblical meaning of adoption. Understand, the Greeks, the Romans had this ceremony they went through with their own flesh and blood. With their own flesh and blood children, they went through this ceremony and it was called adoption, which literally means the placing of a son. Now, as long as a child was under the age of inheritance, they were not really considered to be a full-fledged member of the family. They did not enjoy the rights and privileges of family membership. But when they became an adult, that is the legal age of inheritance, they went through this ceremony called toga virilis, and it's much what it sounds like. They would take the toga off of the adult and place it on the back of the child and then pronounce them to be a full-fledged member of the family with all the rights and privileges thereof. Hey, welcome to the family. I mean, it was that kind of deal. I mean, it was a big ceremony. And it becomes very clear that in Galatians chapter 4, adoption as it's presented in the Scriptures is very much this ceremony of toga virilis. Listen to these words. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. What are they talking about there? The time set by his father is this ceremony, this toga virilis. That's what he's talking about. Verse 3 continues, so also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time has fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the full rights and privileges of a son. Adoption as sons is used for a reason, because that ceremony, the toga virilis, was only done to young men. But Paul is saying it is now being offered to everyone. That was a big cultural switch, people. It was a big cultural switch, because he is taking the common practice of the day and he's applying it to all as it relates to our relationship with God. That was a big deal. You talk about welcome to the family, that's a really big deal when you talk about God as the Father. Now here's the significance. Remember, with regeneration, you were born again, you became a child of God, literally. With adoption, you became a child of God legally. And the beauty of all of that is that it happened simultaneously. They both happen at the same moment. For those who are in Christ Jesus, you are immediately instated with all rights and privileges. Therefore, you are not just a child being fed, but you are an heir that is receiving all that heaven has available. All of it that's available is available to you. So Paul states in our text, he says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, co-heirs, joint heirs, whatever you want to call it, you are a child of the King. Now live like it. Live like you are a child of the King. Through regeneration, you're washed clean and you become born anew. Born again, a new creation in Christ through adoption. God looks at us. He loves us. He chose us to be a part of His family. So both statements are true. We are born into and we are adopted into the family of God. I love a story I read this week. Great story about a Sunday school teacher. And she was doing similar to what we have with the child check-in here, but it was taking place in the Sunday school room. As she sees the children come in, she sees a couple of boys she doesn't recognize. And she said, "Fellas, come on in. Let me get some information on me. Could you give me your name and your age and your birth dates?" And so they gave them their names, and then they started trying to help her write some things down. And one of the boys says, "Well, you know, we're both seven. We're both 7 years old. My birthday is April 8th, 2004, and my brother's birthday is April 20th, 2004. And the teacher's like, whoa. Did you say April 8th and April 20th? And he kind of chuckled and said, "Yes, one of us is adopted." And before she could catch herself, the teacher says, "Which one?" Well, the boys kind of looked at each other and smiled. No doubt they had heard this question before. And then one of them says, "You know, we asked our dad that a little while back. And he kind of did his eyes like this. And he looked at us and says, 'Boys, I love you both. And quite honestly, I can't remember which one of you is adopted.'" There's humor there, but there's some deep theological truth there. See, we're all born into and adopted into the family of God. We're His children. Beloved, if you're in Christ, you are a child of the living God, born literally and adopted legally into the family of God. We are children of God. And if children, it says, then we are heirs of God. Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. We become heirs. Scripture says joint heirs, co-heirs with Christ. If you're married and you and your wife have a joint checking account, you kind of know the deal there, right? Joint checking account. If you have a joint account and you're one of the signers on that account, how much can you write a check for off that account? 50%? Now, men, stay with me. I know what you're thinking. Just stay with me for a minute, though. Technically, logistically speaking, how much can you write a check for out of that account? Yeah, technically, you could write it for 100%. I don't advise it. It's not very wise. But technically, legally, as being part of the joint checking account, you could write for 100%. Not just half of it, 100%. In similar fashion, when we share in God's kingdom, as a joint heir, we don't just share part of His kingdom. We don't just share 50% of His kingdom. We share in all of His kingdom. We have access with Christ to all the promises of the Father, to all the blessings of the Father, to all the inheritance of the Father. And you're sitting there going, I just can't wrap my mind around that. Welcome to the club. We are joint heirs with Christ. Let your mind wrap around that. Joint heirs with Christ, heirs with all the rights, all the privileges, and all the promises. And that inheritance is offered to us. Pray for the family. Pray for those who are responding. That inheritance is offered to us. But as we said last week, you have to receive it. You have to accept it. You have to receive it. So the question then is, will you do so? Dr. Fred Craddock, a former professor of preaching and New Testament, Emory University, Vanderbilt, several other universities, well-known writer, speaker, professor. One summer he decided to go to Gatlinburg. I'm with him on that. We're going there in a couple of weeks. He went to Gatlinburg, and he was there to take kind of a short vacation with his wife, just kind of get away, defrag the hard drive, kind of rest up. And one night they went to this restaurant, a very quiet restaurant. It was known to be quiet. It was known to have kind of private booths for privacy. And they went there specifically just to kind of connect with each other and kind of have a quiet meal. And while they were sitting there, they noticed this kind of distinguished-looking white-haired man who was moving from table to table, visiting with the guest. And Dr. Craddock whispered to his wife, "Oh, I hope he doesn't come over here. I hope he doesn't come." But the man did come by their table, and he said, "Hey, where are you folks from?" And they said, "Oklahoma." "Oh, splendid state, I hear, although I've never been there. What do you do for a living?" "Well, I teach homiletics at the Graduate Seminary of Phillips University," which is where he was at the time. "So, you teach preachers, do you? Well, I've got a story to tell you." And with that, he pulled up a chair and sat down, and Dr. Craddock and his wife are going, "Oh, boy." And in his mind, he groaned inwardly, saying, "Oh, gosh, here comes more preacher stories. Here comes more preacher stories." But the man stuck out his hand, and he said, "I'm Ben Hooper. I was born not far from here, just across the mountains. My mom wasn't married when I was born, so I kind of had a hard time back in the day. When I started school, my classmates called me a name, and it wasn't a very nice name. I used to go off kind of by myself at recess and lunch when we had free time out. I just kind of hid because I really didn't like the names they called me. They hurt. What was worse, though, was going downtown on Saturday afternoon and feeling every single eye there burning in on me. It's like they were all wondering the same thing. Who was his real father? When I was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to town, and he came to our church. And I'd always kind of go in late and then slip out early. But one day the preacher said a really quick benediction, and I got stuck in the crowd. And so I had to go out of the church with everybody else, and every eye in the place was on me. Just about time I could make my way and push through the crowd, I got to the door and thought I was going to get through clean, and about that time this big hand kind of came down on my shoulder, and I looked up and there was the preacher looking at me. And he said, "Who are you, son? Whose boy are you?" I felt that weight come down again. It was like this big black cloud just coming down on me. You know, even the preacher now is going to be putting me down. But you know, he looked down at me and he was studying my face. And then he began to smile a big smile of recognition. "Wait a minute," he said. "I know who you are. I can see the family resemblance. You're a son of God." And with that, he slapped me across the rump and said, "Boy, you've got a great inheritance. Now go out there and claim it." The old man looked across the table at Dr. Fred Craddock and said, "That was the most important single sentence ever said to me." And with that, he stood up, smiled, shook the hands of Dr. Craddock and his wife, and moved on to the other tables. And as he walked off, Fred Craddock, the wheels all connected, and he remembered. On two occasions, the people of Tennessee elected a boy who was born out of wedlock to be their governor. And you guessed it, his name was Ben Hooper. Why do I tell you that story? I tell you that story to let you know that the choice is yours. You can reject the inheritance and slip out before the benediction. You can reject the inheritance, or you can accept it. You can claim it as your very own. You can receive Jesus Christ, and as you receive Him, you receive two things. You are born again, and you are legally adopted into the family. You get them both at the same time. You are a child of God when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because you become joint heirs with Him and with me and with others who have already made that decision. The choice, though, is still yours. What will you decide? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, for us, we have a hard time wrapping our mind around it. We accept it, and we're incredibly grateful, but we still, there's part of us that just can't fathom why you would want us, because we know our own hearts, but then we acknowledge that you know our hearts, and you want us anyway. So it's with grateful hearts that we receive the blessing. It's with grateful hearts that we receive the inheritance that you've offered us. Father, as your children, help us to know and to understand what it means to live as a child of the King. Father, not for our own glory, obviously, but it's for your glory that we strive to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave us an example on how to live and how to die and how to live victoriously. So we pray and ask for your help in all of those things as we live day to day. And as we get to the point of physical death, Father, help us to continue to trust you and know that we will continue to live victoriously even beyond the grave. Father, in all of this, we pray that we would be the kind of examples that we need to be to point others to you, because we understand that that's part of why we're still here. Pointing others to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. I can't make the invitation any more clear. I can't make the benefits even any more clear than I have today and last week. I pray that you would receive Him, that you would finally surrender your will to His and say, "Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I receive your Son as my Lord and Savior, and I am grateful and I embrace all that you have promised to me." If you're here and maybe you've already received Christ, but you're kind of doing it on your own power and your own strength, trying to live out every day, I challenge you, just let that go. Just let that go. Turn that all over to Him and say, "God, I'm going to do it your way now." Trust in Him. Live by His power, by His strength, by His guidance. You can certainly make that commitment where you are. The altar will be open. I'll be glad to speak with you. Whatever your desire is. If you're here and you say, "Well, I'd like to be a member of this church. You know, I am a child of the King, but I'd like to be a member of this church." There are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. I'll ask you to remain standing for just a minute. Let me introduce to you Jackson McCreary. Jackson, come on up here. Mom's going to come with him. Dad's going to come with him. He is coming this morning to let you know. You know Jackson. He's grown up here at the church, and he has been learning about Jesus and what it means to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And this is the morning he wants to let you know that he has prayed. He's asked Jesus to come into his heart. He wants to let you know so that you can pray for him and continue to help him in his pilgrimage and his journey. He is coming as a candidate for baptism, and we'll be doing that August the 13th, Sunday, August the 13th. So mark that on your calendar, circle it, and make plans to be here that day. If you will continue to love him and encourage him and help him in his discipleship, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. I invite you to come by at the conclusion of the service, greet him, express a word of jubilation to him and to his mom and dad. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of this day. Father, for the joy that we feel and express when we come into this place. Father, we thank you today for Jackson and his decision as he is making that next step in his relationship with you. We give you all praise and glory, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.